Today on Bold Steps, Mark Job reminds us what we do with our bodies matters to God.
I'm a child of the living God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I'm a human endowed, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And now I manage my sexuality, my finances, my future, my thoughts by God's design, not my design.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. My name is Wayne Shepherd. Today we're going to step back in time to read the Apostle Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. We're in a new series that Pastor Mark has titled Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20, we're going to learn why purity is such a big deal to God.
You're one with God. You can't do what you used to do before. Why? Because now the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And you are one with the Spirit. When He grieves, you grieve. When He feels sad over something, you are convicted. When He rejoices, you rejoice. That's the way it works in the spiritual realm. And the Bible says that since you're united with Christ, whatever you do in managing your sexuality also affects your spiritual walk. Now, he answers a third question. Are you tracking with me this morning? Just nod. Okay. He answers a third question. By the way, I compare this, our unity with someone else, I compare this as someone unites himself with Christ. He is one with Him in spirit. It's like having a joint checking account. Whatever you deposit affects the other person. Whatever you withdraw affects the other person, right? If you have a joint checking account, you may be two individuals, but you're tied together. What you deposit in it affects. What you withdraw affects because you're joined together or linked together. And so it is with our spiritual walk with God, and so it is in our sexual relationships with other individuals. The third question he answers is this: why is sex or sexual sin so serious? Isn't it the same thing as impure thoughts, pride, or wrong attitudes? Someone says, well, Pastor, come on. Hey, we're only human. When you say we're only human, you're basically dealing with it from an anthropological perspective. God is dealing with it from a theological perspective. Your answer is not we're just humans and we have sex. Your answer is I'm a child of the living God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. So I'm not just human. I'm a human endowed, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and now I manage my sexuality, my finances, my future, my thoughts by God's design, not my design. Amen? Someone says, Pastor, I mean, that guy lies. I have sex on the weekends. What's the difference? I mean, he's got a little pride. I got a little fornication. Hey, sin is sin, isn't it? That guy has a little adultery problem. You know, this person over here has a little jealousy problem. I mean, what's the big deal? We're all sinners. We all have our issues. I mean, really, is it such a big deal that I am every once in a while having sex with my girlfriend or outside of my marriage? Is it a big deal? Well, the Apostle Paul argues that sexual sin is in a category all by itself. Now, what does he say? I want you to look at the passage. It tells us in verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. No other sin does the Bible tell us to run from but sexual sin. In fact, this is written in the present tense, which means make it your habit to run from sexual sin. In other words, You are to be in the perpetual habit of constantly getting out of situations that you feel are going to lead you to sexual sin. It just needs to be your habit. It needs to be part of your mindset. When you feel like you're starting to be tempted, let me just put it this way, real simple. I am going to give you a very profound, a very powerful, a very godly and biblical way to deal with sexual temptation. Run. Well, Pastor, you don't know. You know, I'm single, and, you know, we all have needs, and, you know, it's building up. It's really hard. It's very difficult, and I don't know what to do. I mean, this is so hard, Pastor. What should I do? Run. I mean, like, literally run? Yeah, literally, run. Get out. Escape. Why? Because Paul knows how weak we can be in this area. And Paul knows the law of diminishing and return. The law of diminishing and return basically says if you've gone so far, next time you want to go that far and a little bit further. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you, if you're in a dating relationship, you say, Pastor, you know what? I have a lot of dating couples that ask me the wrong question. They ask me the question, basically, how far can we go without sinning? Let me tell you, if you're asking me that question, you're already asking the wrong question. In other words, Pastor, how far can we go to the edge without actually counting as sexual sin? I mean, can we get like this close? And so I've talked to couples and say, hey, how you doing sexually? Oh, good, we haven't fallen. We've come close. Okay. Well, if you're going to be technical about it, we really haven't fallen, but I mean, we learned from our former president, right? All about those technicalities. And we have individuals nowadays that they're coming up to the edge and saying, well, we didn't have intercourse together. Let me tell you that if you are involved in heavy petting, if you are involved in anything that's sexual, it's called going beyond the lines. And here's the problem. The problem of diminishing return is once you have gone so far, you will not be satisfied next time by just going so far, because next time you want to go that far and a little bit further. And so if you're dating a guy right now and you say, well, you know, we've only gone so far, I'm going to tell you, it's just a matter of time, unless you put the brakes on it, unless you repent, unless you bring some accountability into it, it's only a matter of time before the so far becomes too far. Hello. That's just the way it goes. So the Bible says, run, flee from sexual immorality, because all other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. It's a category in and of itself, because what he's saying is that your body, when you sin sexually, you not only sin against God, but you sin also against your own body, and there's consequences there. You say, well, when you drink, you also sin against your own body? Yes. When you do drugs, you sin against your own body? Yes. If you overeat, you sin against your own body? Yes. But there's a difference there. When you fall sexually in sexual immorality, in or outside of marriage, and you fall in adultery or fornication, when you fall in sexual sin, you involve your soul, your spirit, and your body in that sin, and it affects you. And that's why the Bible says, run from it, run from it, run from it. If you're dating, run from it.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Our subject, why purity is such a big deal to God. And there's more coming up from Mark in just a moment. But did you know that you can always find these daily messages along with other faith-building tools and resources on our website by going to boldstepsradio.org? And for even more convenient access to these messages, you'll want to subscribe to our podcast. That way, you can enjoy listening to these weekly Bible lessons while you're out for a hike, maybe hitting the gym, or anywhere you go. Just open up your podcast app on your phone or mobile device and search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe and tap the subscribe button. When you do, consider leaving a comment and a 5-star rating to help share the message you're listening to with a friend. You can also find Mark's teachings available on YouTube by subscribing to Bold Steps on YouTube. Discover new teaching videos on topics that really matter. Things like marriage, addiction, dealing with worry, and finding purpose. So check it out today by logging into your YouTube account and search for Bold Steps Radio. Click subscribe. If it helps, the direct website handle is youtube.com/@boldstepsradio. Well, there's much more we can glean from this message on purity, so let's get back to our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here again is Mark Jobe.
Can I just redefine some things for you? Let me just tell you this, that the way to end a good date is not in bed. Well, he spent a lot of money on dinner, and he got so dressed up, and he brought flowers, and it was so nice. Listen, the way to say thank you is not in bed. A handshake will do. And let me tell you guys, you say, well, I got all this sexual tension building up. I don't know what to do. Go run. Go jogging. I mean, like jogging. The Bible is clear about this. I am convinced that you can be a single young adult in this society, that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you have the power of the Spirit of God inside of you. I am convinced that you have the power and you have the ability to take a stand. I don't care how involved you've been in the past. I don't care how much you've fallen with your girlfriend in the past. If you're going to do this God's way, you draw a line in the sand and you say, my body belongs to God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I am a vessel of purity. My mind and my soul and my body matter to God. So therefore, I repent of how I've fallen in the past. God's power, by God's strength, that I will not cross that line again until the day I get married. And then I will enjoy it and I will give myself to my partner fully. I want you to understand, God is not against sex. In fact, can I tell you this? God is for sex. God invented sex. God loves sex. He's the creator and the designer of it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. In fact, next week we'll talk about how much God loves sex inside of marriage, but only to be practiced within the context of two individuals that have committed themselves to each other for a lifetime and say we love each other, not just in the passionate part, but in the good and the bad and the ugly and the poor and the rich and health, we commit ourselves 100% to each other. You see, the reason that God is so against sex when you're single, or so against sex when you're married and outside of marriage, is not because sex is so bad, it's because sex is so good. Sex is so good that God doesn't want you to ruin it, waste it, pervert it, distort it outside of the context of marriage. It's because it's good, it's because it's sacred, and let me tell you this. I truly believe that no matter where you've been or how long you've been there or what you've done, God can wash you and cleanse you and make you whole. I believe that. But I do want to say this. There are always consequences to our sin. And part of the consequences to promiscuity is that we bring baggage into our marriage. We bring distortion. We bring memories. We bring wrong thoughts. We bring stuff that we're going to have to work through in our marriage because We have taken something that's good and valuable before, and we've messed some things up. Now, God is the God that can create. He can restore the years that the locust has stolen. He can do a lot of good things, but we will have to deal with the consequences. And let me close with these final thoughts. It says in verse 19, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" The word used here in the Greek is naos, which means sacred shrine or sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a sacred shrine of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. You can't get away from Him. You can't leave Him outside the door. He goes wherever you go. He lives wherever you live. He sees whatever you see. He experiences whatever you experience because He is in your body, indwelling you. And you have received this Holy Spirit from God. He is called not the Spirit, but He is called the Holy Spirit. Because He comes from the very immutable, unadulterated, holy, blameless essence of God. And He lives inside of you. He comes from God, and it says, and you are not your own. Why am I not my own? You were bought at a price. Now, the word here, bought, is in the aorist tense, which means that it was a single decisive action. You were bought by the blood of Jesus at the cross of Calvary. He paid a price for you. He bought you 100% body, soul, and spirit. He has redeemed you, sanctified you, bought you, set you aside. And here's what it says. Therefore, honor God with your body because you belong to God. Now I want to say one final note as we wrap it up. Summertime. And a couple things happen in summertime. Yeah, I know you get your vacation, and that's nice. But the other thing that happens in summertime is that we tend to shed our clothes. I mean, it gets hot, so we shed our clothes. Let me tell you something, and can I address especially women? And I want to address especially women because the Bible especially dresses women. And there's issues with men as well. But I want to just address the sisters for a moment and say that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The way you decorate your body reflects the God that you serve. The way you walk around, the way you move, the way you conduct yourself says something about who you belong to. I run into young gals sometimes that say, I always attract the weirdos. I don't know why. They all attracted to me, and I can never find a decent guy. Can I give you a hint? You flaunt flesh, you attract flesh. Any guy that's worth his salt, any godly guy, is going to be attracted to a godly woman. And let me tell you, if I see a woman that has to expose a lot of herself, that has to dress too tight or too low or too revealing, it's telling me several things about that gal already. I know, one, that she needs attention. I know, two, that she has a low self-worth because she's drawn attention not to her personality. And I'm not saying dress nice. I'm all in favor of dress nice, dress classy, dress feminine. But when you have to dress revealing, when you have to dress in a way, you're telling something to other people. You're saying, I'm cheap. You're saying, I'm easy. You're saying, I don't have a lot of worth and a lot of value. And you're giving off those signals, and it's those kind of guys that are picking up on those signals. And I want to remind you that you are a woman of dignity, and you are a woman of worth, and you are a woman of value, and you have a brain, and you have a soul, and you have a mind, and you are a woman that, yes, you have a body, and praise God that you have a body, And you should never, that body should belong exclusively to your husband, and he should enjoy it. But you are a person with a soul and value and dignity. Never let yourself be lowered to a lower degree because of the signals that you are giving around. Amen.
Learning to reflect God's dignity and worth. This is Bold Steps. You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe, and you'll find today's lesson, along with all of Mark's previous messages, available on our website, boldstepsradio.org. Now, Mark, before we wrap up today's important program, you've got something else of importance to share with listeners.
Yeah, Wayne, it's good to have in the studio again with us Dr. Bill Thrasher. He's been teaching here on the Moody Bible Institute for years.
Longtime friend.
Spiritual formation, topics of prayer. So beloved here on campus. And I mentioned this before, but my wife's favorite professor. In fact, she had the privilege actually of writing, her and I, a foreword in this book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life, which was an honor. But, you know, most people have a routine of how to pray, their quiet time, if they've been believers for a while. But, Bill, you've highlighted a powerful but painful truth that not all prayer times are created equal.
Well, you know, in my own pilgrimage, and that story is about my pilgrimage, that I hope others can benefit from. I was saved at a Billy Graham crusade when I was 13 years of age. He came to the local football stadium in Montgomery, Alabama. He was there by presidential order, saying, look, your gospel is the only thing that can do anything for that racial crisis there.
Wow.
And he preached, and praise God he did. I was a part of the denominational church, but I didn't understand the gospel. I did that night. I read the Bible each day after that, didn't significantly grow, joined the Air Force Reserve right out of high school, just 6 months active duty, and then went to Auburn University. Pledged, not really knowing there was, I pledged my brother's social fraternity, and this was a state university. But in God's great providence, I wandered into the room of a fraternity brother one day, very unusual one, didn't even ask a question, and he shared with me that little booklet that crew used at that particular time, Have You Made the Wonderful Discovery of the Spirit-Filled Life? I hung on every word. The great thing is I'll end up rooming with him for a year. That dear brother is still in the Lord's work to this day. But we had our prayer meeting in our room every night. I went on to seminary. God called me into the ministry, even though I majored in business, and went to seminary. I had a prayer meeting in my seminary room every night. God mercifully opened the door to come to Moody, and I developed that discipline of prayer. But there was one day, you know, the longer you're around the Christian life, people say, pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. I literally tried to pray for it all. And and one day, my thought was to God. I said, God, I think the greatest gift you can give me is just take this burden off my back. Because what I realized is this, I'm praying, but I'm not sure I'm really expecting anything to happen. Mm-hmm. And if you're praying, you're not expecting anything to happen, sooner or later you ask yourself the question, why I pray? You know, here's what, if you'd asked me to summarize what people teach about prayer, I said, well, two things come out strong, and I bought into both of them. One is prayer is very, very, very important. Secondly, you need to discipline yourself to do it. I'd done both, and my prayer life had died. And so I knew I needed to learn something else. Our founder, D.L. Moody, unquestionably the greatest preacher of his day, said, I'd rather teach one person to pray than 10 people to preach. You know, come to God, Luke 11:1. Teach me to pray. And Jesus spoke when his disciples said that. And God will speak to our listeners today, just in his great mercy he did to me.
Wonderful. Wow, powerful. I love that. I've heard that quote of D.L. Moody before. So, hey, listener, maybe you've been convicted recently about just wanting to go deeper in your prayer life. We would love to put this book in your hand, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life by Dr. Bill Thrasher.
And we will send a copy to you when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. Just give us a call. Our phone number is 800-DL-MOODY. Or go online to give a gift of support and request the book when you visit boldstepsradio.org. Once again, the phone number, 800-356-6639. If it's easier for you to send your gift and request this book in the mail, you can write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Well, Mark, when we come back tomorrow, we'll continue our current series called Straight Talk by looking at God's high regard for marriage. And in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul addresses some pretty extreme views.
Yeah, Paul is dealing with some extreme views that existed in Corinth, and they are very similar to the views
sure
that exist
are.
Today.
Yes.
And, you know, there was some argument among the Corinthians, hey, God gave me sexual urges and, you know, he gave me an appetite for food I should be able to indulge. He gave me sexual appetite. I should be able to use it. However, and so these had infiltrated the church. They were affecting people's marriage and dating. Mm. And Paul is bringing sort of a corrective understanding of, yeah, sexuality is great. It's designed by God. It's good. But it needs to be managed God's way, or it can be extremely dangerous and harmful to a lot of people.
In any day, God's word is still relevant, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when our series titled Straight Talk continues, and Mark will describe God's rules for sexuality in marriage. You won't want to miss out. Listen Wednesday to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and in the meantime, why not connect with us on Facebook or Instagram? Just search for Bold Steps and find encouragement today. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.